We're going to be considering the next eight verses in this chapter, and that's from verse 17. So if you would follow me from verse 17 of Psalm 119, and I am going to be reading from the New King James Version if you are following with me. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight that your word is light. And Lord, it's a lamp that does guide us. And we want you to guide us tonight. I pray that you would deal bountifully with your people tonight as we consider your word and consider how to live and keep your word. Lord, tonight I pray that you would let your word, your testimonies, be our counselors. So I pray tonight, Lord, in that you'd use my weakness and the strength of your word for your glory and for the strengthening of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, some of you do know, and for those of you who don't, I am involved in the asset management of retail properties. And of late, we have been having discussions with the developers of the Gautrain project, and they are looking to extend that project into other areas in Gauteng. And just in terms of the strategies that I have to work on. Overseas, if you've been overseas, you'll see a lot of the retail properties there have train stations stop in the basements of their properties, and we are looking at some of those models here in South Africa. So I've been reading a bit about train tracks and how these things work, and I'm not sure if you know, but the track on a railway or railroad is known as the permanent way. The structure consists of rails, fasteners, and rail ties, or sleepers as we would call them, and ballasts. And this structure enables trains to move by providing a dependable surface for their wheels to roll on. And as I considered these structures, our lives require a permanent way to roll on, a way where our lives will roll with open eyes. And just taking Stuart's cue this morning, I am going to center our devotion tonight on verse 18, living with open eyes. Praying before the throne of God and meditating on the word of God is the rail structure or the permanent way that enables the train of our souls to stay on track, the track that leads to heaven and holiness. Maybe let me just pause for a minute as elders are encouraging a different setting on Sunday evenings. We also, there are those who have a fear to pray and how to pray. And we're trusting that the change in format would help you pray, not just on your own, but corporately as well. Maybe one tip I can give you from the scriptures how to pray. Instead of thinking up, well, what can I pray, or a whole lot of things to pray, pray the scriptures of God back to him. See what the psalmist does right through the psalm, in particular in these eight verses, how he prays God's word back to God. So I encourage you as the church tonight to meditate this week on the psalm and the verses contained herein. Pray back the word of God to God. And pray that the Lord would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from God's law. Well, as we get going tonight. What are open eyes? Let's have a look at that before we discover more from God's word. But what are open eyes spoken of here in this passage? Well, firstly, it's not the open eyes. Doug spoke about the open eyes in Genesis chapter 3 this morning. It's not those open eyes. Those are eyes seeking self-prominence, power, and pleasure for self. And those open eyes only lead to looking for what is weak and covering ourselves in weak ways. A covering which leaves us exposed to the wiles of the devil. The open eyes spoken of in this passage are eyes with spiritual vision. And we sing that song often, "Be Thou My Vision." That's what we're talking about tonight. Eyes that focus on or live for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eyes that are focused on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are eyes that seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So as we just consider open eyes tonight, I would encourage you to evaluate the decisions and choices you've made even this week, this year. What choices have you made in terms of your family? Men, have you been like Adam, letting serpents into your home, speaking to your wives and children, and we've left the garden spade in the shed instead of chopping the serpents' heads that come off into our homes? What choices have you made for your family? I wonder this week, have you made the choice of family to send your children and teenagers to a place where the Word of God would be taught? What choices have you made in terms of body life? What have you sacrificed instead of gathering with the church of God? What choices have you made in terms of your finances? Where do you think you'll get the best returns? Are your choices the open eyes in Genesis chapter 3, or are the eyes that you've made decisions with those that glorify God and praying that God's will in heaven would be done here on earth? It's always great to have a look at the life of Christ, how He lived here on earth. And when we see how Jesus lived, He lived in order that when people saw Him or heard Him, it would reflect His Father. I wonder, do we live like that tonight? If we lived with open eyes before the world, they will see Christ and ultimately God the Father. I always love that account in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin and they being called a whole host of names. But there's one thing the Sanhedrin say about them which stands out. And they say they can see that they've been with Jesus. These are men that lived with open eyes. I wonder if that can be said about our choices and our decisions. And these are the open eyes we're talking about tonight. Can we see, can people see that we've been with Jesus? Well, let's look at how do we keep our eyes open. How is it that we keep our eyes open? Well, firstly, we keep our eyes open because we keep our eyes open through the bountiful grace of our Master. Even as a believer, without the strength of Christ and the control and guidance of the Spirit, we are poor and weak and empty and helpless creatures. Anything short of a bountiful supply of grace of our Master, who has all authority in heaven and in earth, we will not be able to see the wonder of God's Word. We are not naturally able to see spiritual beauty. When we read the Bible, the law of God, without the help of God, our Master, the glory of God and the teachings and the events of the Bible will seem like the sun shining in the face of a blind man. We must never forget that without the supernatural work of God, we will be guilty, or we were guilty, corrupt, hard and darkened in our understanding. But through the bountifulness of our Master, Jesus Christ came to earth to give himself as a sacrifice in our place and for the forgiveness of sins. And through Christ's sacrifice, God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you tonight, are you desperate for God, as we see the psalmist is desperate for God and God's word? Are you hungry for God? We need to be pleading and crying out as the psalmist to God for his bountifulness, his grace, when we read the Bible. In your daily prayers and devotions, ask that God would not hide his commandments from us. Make them come alive. How should we walk? How should we live? Worldly wisdom can't guide us as believers to holiness. Definitely, if we're setting up railroad tracks, the world's way is not a permanent way. We're going to have a train wreck if we follow the world's way. Let's pray that the grace of Christ, through the commands in Scripture, will move us to spiritual sobriety in the midst of worldly desires and pleasures. Well, secondly tonight, why do we require open eyes? Why would we require open eyes? Well, as servants of the Master, we are actually, as he says here in this passage, we are strangers and wanderers in this worldly system. If you just take this morning's message, if the world had to hear that message this morning, they would find it very strange. Biblical definition of marriage and the marriage out in the world today is very strange. One's strange to the other one. And even in so-called churches, what was preached this morning would be strange. Anything that is biblical is strange to the world because they are blind and they're in darkness. The world system that you and I are exposed to focuses on the temporary and only have temporal observances. The believer's hope and focuses should be on eternal realities made possible through Christ Jesus. We talk about, and we've been dealing with this in my Sunday school class with the children, about what is eternal life. And our worldliness would lead us to think about pleasure and self-pleasure. But eternal life is knowing God. That's what it's about. And that's strange to the world. If you say eternal life to the world, they're just thinking about pleasing self, not about knowing God. When God's word does not dwell richly in us, when the word of God is hidden from us, we are prone to worship the temporary. That which brings little satisfaction, but much consequential hurt. Believer, we need to be in the word and pray that it would keep us from sin. You see, alternatively, if we're in sin, it will keep us from the Bible. And that's what the psalmist is praying about here in this passage. Hide not your commandments from me. I would encourage you tonight, if you are in sin and it's keeping you from the Bible, the scriptures teach us that there is a means of confession. Our God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess our sins. And I'd encourage you, if you're pulling away from service, if you're pulling away from the body because there's sin in your life, rely on those promises and confess your sin. Get right with God. Get on the permanent way tonight. Our souls need to seek the word intensely, because not only are we strangers in this world system, but as this passage says, even princes or governors speak against the status you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but a week or so ago, there was this law that they passed affecting the public schools that you can't push one religious system in the school. And as I listened to all the discussions, the religion or belief system that was torn apart was Christianity. And all these so-called authorities ripped into Christianity, and you can't make that the permanent way in the schooling systems. And, you know, they had that a whole lot of issues about who Jesus Christ says he is, and we can't believe these things. And these princes, these so-called authorities, are going to say things against us. It's in Scripture. Jesus himself said, the world would hate you because it hated him before it hated you. If you are of the world, it would love his own. But if you follow Christ, if you're in Christ, the world's not going to love you, my friends. Most people covet a good word from people with so-called stature. To be spoken ill of is great discouragement. Believers can experience discouragement as we hear these words of those who govern us. And much of what is preached from this pulpit would sometimes be called hate speech. But the psalmist encouraged us to bear the trials with holy calmness. With the psalmist, we must continue meditating in God's statutes. Maybe you do battle with what he said, and sometimes you're prone to compromise because what people at work would say, what other authorities outside the church would say. Well, take note of verse 21. God rebukes the proud, the cursed, who stray from his commands. That's what we should fear. Don't fear man and those who govern us. God himself rebukes the proud, those that stray from his commands. Rather trust our great God to remove the reproach and contempt of the ungodly than experience chastisements and punishments God lays on the faithless and rebellious. Maybe young people are going to make an appeal right here to you tonight. This world system gives you many ways to be cool. Take the risks they tell you. Do crazy things that rebel against authority. Don't be fooled. This only leads to destruction. We heard it this morning. If you want holiness, if you want happiness, strive for holiness. We strive for holiness when we live and keep God's word. Then finally tonight, the benefit of praying for open eyes. Well, it's there in our pivot verse, which is to behold the wondrous things from God's law. Prayer is essential to Christian living because it is the key to unlocking the power of God's word in our lives. Seeing the word and knowing it and having it are crucial to living a life of holiness and obtaining power to carry out the purposes of God's word. We first got to see the wonders in his word before we do wonderful things for him. Well, as we look at this, what are some of these wondrous things that we find in God's word? Well, the most important thing that is wonderful that we see in God's word is the wondrous character of God. The holiness, the mercy, the grace, the justice, the love of God are found in the word, and that's what we're looking to discover. Maybe teachers and those newer teachers who are going to teach KFC and TFC this week, and I know those of you involved with me in Junior Family Bible Hour, let me give you some advice tonight in terms of using the power of God to teach this week. The stories you're going to teach, and you obviously got quite a bit because you're going to go through all the books of the Bible. Those stories are not about Adam and Noah and Moses and all these characters and David. It's not about them. What you want to do this week is show the character of God. I'm always, it's a wonder to me, all those names that I've given you, you always find disaster somewhere in the plot line. But then, our mighty God comes and he uses those disastrous situations for his glory. That's what you want to teach our children this week. Secondly, we see the wondrous promises and hopes and hope we have in Christ, which are found in the word. We were having quite an interesting discussion at lunchtime this afternoon, and one of my boys asked me about, you know, do we fear death? How do we deal with death? And I could share a little bit of personal experience I had last year when I was diagnosed with cancer, and you're sitting in front of the doctor, and he's explaining all the risks of what I could go through and how risky the surgery was, and there was a chance I wouldn't wake up from surgery. How do you deal with that? And I said, boys, it was most amazing to me, because I had the promises of God and the hope of God to hang on, I was extremely calm. May I encourage you tonight, maybe you are going through a tough time. Maybe the world is rebuking you and you're feeling the curse of the world. But hang on to the promises of God. There are so many of them. We find wondrous promises and hope in the Scriptures. We find in the Scriptures the wondrous rule of life that's found in God's Word. We can clearly see from the Word how to make marriage matter, how to raise a godly seed, how to honor our parents, how to submit to other authorities God has allowed in our lives. The wondrous redemption, finally, the other wonder and last one I want to mention tonight, the last wonder we see is the wondrous redemption from the penalty, the power, and pleasure of sin that is found in God's Word. So we need to pray tonight that these testimonies would be our counselors so that we would live with open eyes. I'd like to, maybe just as I finish off tonight, give you some advice in terms of dealing with, as you read through this portion of the psalm, and as we continue through the book of the chapter 119, how to pray and what to pray as we deal with God's Word. God has made provision for the sense and wonder in His revealed Word. How do we pray around that? Let me just pause before I just give you these to think about before we finish off. It's no use praying what I'm going to give you here if you're not involved in body life. It's a bit contradictory. We come together as a body to sharpen one another and to encourage one another. And maybe when we are struggling with things, there's those in the body that help us. We can't live isolated. So as you consider that, let me just give you, as you pray and prepare to pray this week, let's pray for the following things. Firstly, pray that God would teach us His Word. Let's pray that God would not hide His Word from us. Let's pray that God would make us understand His Word. Let's pray that God would incline our hearts to His Word. Let's pray that God would establish our steps in His Word. And finally, let's pray that God would give us life to keep His Word. Well, we're going to transition to the table in a moment, and this is a visible form of God's Word. And I trust that the testimony of Christ giving up His glory to become a man who was betrayed and had His body broken for His people and shed His blood for the washing of our sin would be a delight for you tonight, as the psalmist finishes off this passage. This, as we focus on the cross, should be a delight. As you contemplate how Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, may the Word that is before us, the ordinance, be your counselor tonight. So at this stage, I want to ask those men, those brothers that we have spoken to, if you would join me at the front, and we'll start distributing the elements.